She disappeared one night and was only found when her body began to putrefy under her bathtub. Her killer fully confessed to the murder but couldn't be held responsible. He bragged about getting away with the quote-unquote perfect murder. This is the story of Julie Hogg, the pizza delivery girl who caused an 800-year-old law to be rewritten in the UK. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I read about today's case on Reddit in a thread about cases that went unsolved for decades but were eventually figured out in unusual ways. All of the cases were interesting, but I had never heard about 22-year-old Julie Hogg. Julie was popular with her neighbors and coworkers and very close with her mother. She was a pizza delivery worker in 1989 in Billingham, a little town of about 30,000 people in northern England. Her pizza job helped support Julie and her 3-year-old son, Kevin. On the night of November 16th, Kevin stayed with his grandma so Julie could go to court on her own the next day. She was filing for formal separation from her husband. Julie's mom called her house at 7:30 the next morning to wake her up, but Julie still hadn't picked up after several tries. Julie had been working late delivering pizzas the night before, and her mom assumed that she was just in a deep sleep. So her mom walked to Julie's house, which was just down the street. The curtains were still closed, and Julie didn't come to the door. It seemed like this was more than just oversleeping. She called her son, Julie's brother, and the two of them finagled their way in by breaking a piece of glass in the back door. But there was no sign of Julie inside. Julie's mom called the police, who said maybe she had gotten a ride with someone and would be back soon. But her mom just knew that wasn't the case. When Julie didn't return after 4 days, more or less abandoning her son, the police finally sent investigators to conduct a forensic search. But nothing seemed off about Julie's home. She was just considered a missing person. 79 days passed while no one had heard from nor saw Julie. Her mom wanted to believe that nothing bad had happened, that she had just run away, but of course, that idea made her angry. What kind of mom just leaves her toddler behind? But on the 80th day, Julie's estranged husband was at their old house, preparing to move back from London to live with little Kevin, and he smelled something strange. He called up Julie's mom, who knew the worst had happened as soon as she walked in the door. She was an operating room nurse and knew the smell of death all too well. She followed the scent to Julie's bathroom, where she noticed that the bath panel was loose. This is the wood or acrylic that goes around the bottom of a bathtub so the pipes or feet don't show, in case you, like I, had no idea what a bath panel was. There behind the panel, under the bathtub, Julie's mom found her naked body. It was partially decomposed and too much time had passed for authorities to later determine the cause of death. It was probably strangulation, though. And Julie had been violently assaulted and mutilated. Now, incredibly, less than 2 weeks later, the police had a suspect. They had brought in Julie's neighbor who led them to this man. He was an unskilled laborer named Billy Dunlop, born in 1963. Some sources say his friend had a relationship with Julie, and other sources say he himself had a relationship with Julie. The show World's Most Evil Killers interviewed Julie's mom, and they say Billy's friend was an ex of Julie's, which I'm inclined to believe. His story was that he'd been at a bachelor party that night at a local rugby club and then stopped by to see a friend who happened to live right next door to Julie. Seeing her light on when he left, he made the mistake of telling his friend he was going to pop over and say hi. That made Billy the last person to see Julie alive, and he was a person with a history of violence. He had kicked a man in the face at the age of 18, and he had split the cheek of a 15-year-old girl. He punched her in the face after breaking into her house with a knife in tow. He and his rugby friends were known around town as the Crazy Gang because of how rowdy and violent they were. And Billy had grown up under an authoritarian dad who taught him that violence got things done. The Crown prosecution called him a dangerous killer and the attack on Julie truly horrendous. At Billy's trial in 1991, there was a hung jury, then a retrial, then another hung jury. This despite the fact that investigators literally found Julie's keys under the floorboards of Billy's house, with his fingerprints on the fob. And semen stains on the blanket her body was wrapped in were a match for Billy, and fibers from his sweater were found on the blanket, and so was his hair, and yet a hung jury twice. And in England, the prosecution usually doesn't try for a third trial. My understanding is that this is just a convention and not a law, but Dunlop was acquitted anyway, basically on a formality. Julie's mom was left with post-traumatic stress disorder and the guilt that she'd been mad at her daughter for running away for those 80 days when Julie was really hidden beneath the bathtub that whole time. Meanwhile, she says that Billy was wearing his acquittal around town like a badge of honor, bragging that he'd gotten away with the perfect murder. I would hardly call it perfect if you got dragged in by the cops only 9 days after the body was discovered, but okay. Either way, you can imagine how this made Julie's mom feel.
To raise doubts in the jury's mind, Dunlop's defense implied that another of Julie's sexual partners could have been responsible for her death.
You sat here and you wanted to shout down. Why are you saying things like that, you know? And looking at the house now, and I'm back to that day. All the emotions back there again, thinking, you know, that was the day I came down and she just wasn't there.
In 1997, Billy Dunlop couldn't help himself and went back to his violent ways, stabbing his ex-girlfriend with a carving fork and attacking her new boyfriend. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison, but even there, his ex wasn't safe from him. Billy wrote her a letter claiming that when those 7 years were up, he'd find her and do to her what he did to Julie. Of course, she took this letter to the police. It was a confession right there in pen on paper, but double jeopardy meant there was nothing that could be done about it. Once Billy was acquitted, there was absolutely no trying him again for the same crime. But there was one little trick the police had up their sleeves, and that was getting him on lying under oath. A lady prison guard got Billy to tell her the story of the night he last saw Julie Hogg, and this guard recorded all of it. Billy said that while he was unexpectedly visiting Julie that night after the bachelor party, he told her about getting into a fight, and she laughed nervously, which annoyed him. I'm guessing that with Julie's separation from her husband, Billy saw her as available for the taking and was none too pleased to have his manhood questioned, or whatever he interpreted that nervous laugh as. So he strangled her, wrapped her in a blanket, tried to hide her in the attic, and then decided on under the bathtub instead. And the prison guard had the confession all on tape. Billy was convicted on perjury charges as expected, but he got a whopping 6 years added to his sentence. It was just too outrageous for Julie's mom, who knew the killer of her child but had to watch as he received lesser punishments. He didn't even really have to take responsibility for what he'd done. Julie's mom said, "We feel we have been very let down by the criminal justice system. We live and breathe our daughter's murder all the time. We are simply looking for some closure." She wrote to a series of government officials until she ended up with the address for a judge on the Law Commission of England and Wales. It's an advisory body appointed by Parliament that reviews the laws of the nation and suggests ways to reform them for the better. In 2001, thanks to Julie's mom, they started to take a second look at the double jeopardy law. Julie's mom hopefully said at the time, "It could mean justice for victims, many of whom will tell you that they, not the perpetrators, do the life sentences in this country." The Law Commission judge took the idea to the commission, which recommended an adjustment to the double jeopardy law. They said a person should be able to go on trial again for the same crime if new and compelling evidence was found in a serious crime such as murder or robbery, and it would also be retroactive, applying to criminals who had been acquitted in the past. This was an 800-year-old law they were trying to overturn, and of course the opposition party didn't want to side with the party in charge at the time because you know how politicians are, but it actually worked, maybe partly thanks to a speech Julie's mom gave in front of the House of Lords. Incredibly, in April 2005, the bill was approved by both chambers of Parliament. In May 2006, Billy Dunlop's previous acquittal was thrown out. His case was reopened and he was put back on trial months later in October. The first person to be retried under the new law. Knowing that he didn't have a chance, he pleaded guilty and was found guilty of murder. Billy said, "I've come clean because I need help. It's as simple as that. I'm not proud of what I've done." Almost 2 decades after killing Julie Hogg, his bragging had caught up with him. The 43-year-old was sentenced to no fewer than 17 years in prison. The Secretary of State for Britain's Home Department said, 3 years ago, people argued about the medieval right not to be tried twice, as though fraudulently getting off was some sort of game in which, if you fooled the justice system once, you had got away with it forever. I hope that more unsolved, heinous crimes will now be resolved. In September 2022, a parole board recommended that 59-year-old Billy be allowed to transfer to a lower security prison. He would have the ability to go on temporary release now and then. They said that at the time of Julie's murder, Dunlop had a willingness to use extreme violence thanks to drugs and alcohol, and that he had problematic views of women. He felt that he was entitled to them. They also said that Billy didn't understand the consequences of his behavior. But now they said he had gone through years of therapy in prison and finally understood the impact he had on people. They said he took full responsibility for what he did to Julie Hogg and had matured. And although they didn't think he was ready to be fully released, they felt a lower security prison that allowed for temporary release would be a good test for him. But Julie's family didn't think Billy felt the necessary remorse at all. When one of them had read an impact statement in front of the parole board at a previous hearing, they said Billy wouldn't look at them, closed his eyes and rocked back and forth and began to hum. If that's true, it hardly sounds like the actions of a reformed, mature person. Luckily for Julie's family, the Justice Secretary and the Ministry of Justice had the right to block Billy's move to an open prison, despite the parole board's recommendation. He chose to keep Billy under high security in the interest of public protection. Julie's mom traveled to London to see Dunlop sentenced back in 2006, and she said at the time, "I would have liked life to have meant life. Julie's murder has devastated our family and left us in turmoil. We just hope after 17 years, when he is eligible for parole, and if I'm dead, somebody carries on the good work and keeps him behind bars so he will never, ever kill anybody else again." She also said about Julie, "I believe in life after death, so I'm sure she'll be waiting for me." Billy Dunlop becomes eligible for parole this year in October. Julie's son, Kevin, who was only 3 years old when she died, said his grandparents did the best they could to give him a happy childhood, but that the pain still cuts deep, even deeper now that he has a son of his own. He told a local newspaper, "People think as time goes on, it gets easier, but it never gets easier. You just learn new coping mechanisms." Now, this case was in the news yet again in February of this year when it was revealed that Billy Dunlop may have had multiple victims. It was June 1989, just months before Julie Hogg would go missing, when 18-year-old Tina Bell disappeared from the same town. She had gone out to buy candy for her younger brother and never returned. Some kids were shooting pigeons on abandoned land near Tina's home in April of the next year when they found her skull, collarbone, shoulder blade, and lower jaw. Forensic testing led investigators to believe that Tina's soft tissue had been dissolved in acid before her body was placed there, so her case became known as the acid bath murder. Even the enamel had been pulled from her teeth. It later turned out that the soil in the wasteland was just totally contaminated by chemicals from a nearby factory, and Tina's body probably dissolved just by being buried there. Her bones were found just a few streets over from Julie Hogg's home. At the time, Tina lived within walking distance of 26-year-old Billy Dunlop, and wouldn't you know it, they were at the same party on the night she disappeared. It was in an apartment above a shop nearby, and when the landlord got a call about them being loud, he barged into the apartment. Billy, Tina, and two other friends there were obviously drunk, and he made them leave. We may never know what happened after that because the two friends have since passed away, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Billy had something to do with Tina Bell's disappearance. Now, critics will say that the double jeopardy law is a much-needed protection for us regular people against government overreach. If prosecutors are allowed to try someone as many times as they want to, they could just keep doing it until they get that guilty verdict. But of course, reforming the law was a major win in the Julie Hogg case. It's sort of a matter of protecting the rights of defendants versus making people pay for the most crimes possible. From the time the law was changed in 2005 to 2022, the new rule had helped convict 13 people who would have gotten away free. Do you think it's worth it? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.